Friends, the book of Genesis informs us that Sarah, Abraham's beloved wife, was barren and childless. In her 90s, however, she was miraculously blessed with a male child named Isaac. One of Isaac's sons was Jacob, who was later named Israel, the father of the 12 Israelite tribes who ended up in Egypt for 400 years. For a good number of years, they enjoyed a comfortable life because of one of the 12, Joseph, who ruled the country on behalf of Pharaoh. After Joseph died, they were without a leader. The first chapter of the book of Exodus says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land.' Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service." Pharaoh further decided to have all newborn Hebrew male babies drowned in the river Nile. We learn from Exodus chapter 2 that a special baby boy was miraculously saved from drowning. His parents managed to hide him for 3 months, put him in a waterproof basket, and laid him in the Nile. He ended up being adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, who called him Moses. Unknowingly, she hired his Hebrew mother to nurse and raise him for her. In this way, Moses enjoyed a pharaonic royal upbringing. Yet, aware of his biological identity, he strongly but secretly sympathized with his oppressed Hebrew relatives. We read in the second chapter of the book of Exodus that one day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that way, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, 2 Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the one in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. Friends, Moses ended up meeting Jethro, a distant Hebrew relative, one of Abraham's many great-grandsons. Jethro was a faithful believer in the true living God of his great-grandfather, Abraham. He's identified as the priest of Midian. Moses joined his family and married one of his 7 daughters and became Jethro's shepherd. Naturally, this connection prepared Moses for his divine calling to deliver the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and lead them to the promised land of Canaan. Moses followed the footsteps of his great-grandfather Abraham. His life was preserved, blessed, guided, and dedicated for the same divine objective. In the 11th chapter of the New Testament epistle to the Hebrew believers in the Messiah, we read, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Friends, like Abraham and all servants of God whose prophetic or apostolic ministries are recorded in holy scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments, Moses was chosen in service to Jesus, the divine Messiah Savior, promised to come through Abraham's line for the blessing of all families of the earth. Hallelujah.